I've entitled this message, Letting Your Life Speak. Letting Your Life Speak. And your life speaks loudly. So what is it saying? We're going to look at some things today, and you're going to be blessed. Hey, how many came to church for Easter this weekend? How many came? Good. And guess what you did? You brought your kids. Yeah, we had 3,200 children from Friday night to third service Sunday. Yeah, we were busy. Yeah, and then Pastor Deborah asked me to... No, she's got her nerve. Anyway, I love the opportunity. I'm just teasing. But we had us a time, and did you get fed this weekend? How many brought visitors? How many brought somebody with you? Oh, you're good. You're good. They say never miss Easter weekend because people are actually expecting you to ask them. They know you're going to do that. And so when we don't, they're probably disappointed. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you about letting your life speak. Letting your life speak. I remember I was a student at Pepperdine University. I was the last graduating class on the LA campus. And shortly after I came back to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Spirit, we all started going to Fred Price's church. How many are familiar with Fred Price's ministry in LA? Yes, the Faith Dome he's in, that was our campus. We walked around that campus and claimed it for Jesus, never knowing that someday he was going to have his church there. But when I started attending his church, it was West Washington Community Church with 300 people. Isn't that cool? But anyway, I remember I came out of the hippie movement, and I wasn't even really a cool hippie. I was just one of those, you know, dirty, don't wear a bra sort of ones, you know? You know, now they show the 60s and 70s, and they look so cute. We didn't look that cute. We were dirty. We didn't brush our hair. I mean, we were really pretty funky. Right, Sue? Sue Roth is my fellow hippie, yes. We were pretty funky. But anyway, I came out of a lot of insecurity when I came to the Lord, a lot of not knowing who I was, always kind of gravitating towards strong personalities and just letting them kind of dominate me. Didn't know who I was as a person with my own identity, my own feelings about things. I grew up in a family of, there were seven of us, and I had an older strong-willed sister and a younger strong-willed sister, so I was kind of in between there. And but anyway, I remember when I first came to the Lord, really looking at Betty Price and the Holy Spirit dropping in my heart that I needed to watch her and I needed to emulate how she was as a woman of God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I wasn't getting into an idolatry thing. That's not what the Holy Spirit was dealing with me on. But I needed to find out what a woman of God looked like, how she carried herself. And so I began just studying her. And sometimes when Fred, how many of you know that if you've followed his ministry every year, I don't know if he still does it, but maybe his son does now, but every year he would do this marriage series. And he would get very transparent. And I would sit there and I'd think, oh my gosh, if that was my husband telling that about me, I would just die 1,000 deaths. And I would look over at her on the front row, and she'd be sitting there so composed and just not even flinch. And I'd be thinking, I would jump up and kill him. I would kill him. But she was just this amazing, beautiful woman of God and just carried herself so well and was very approachable. And just very beautiful from the inside out. And so I began to just kind of study her. And the Holy Spirit just dealt with me on how to carry myself more as a woman of God. And what I want to minister to you today about is that our lives are living epistles. They are living letters, Paul said. Living epistles known and read of all people. In other words, you're really the only Bible that some people are going to read. Everybody say, ouch. We're really the only Bible that some people are going to read. And when they see us and they see our character and they see the compassion and the empathy that we have and the tenderness of heart that we have, will they want what we have? And that's what we need to focus on. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart, We are the living Word of God because He's on the inside of us, and we're the carriers of the Spirit of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're a carrier, sweetheart." So we need to be wearing Jesus well. Would you say amen? We need to be wearing Jesus well. And one thing I found that people are not attracted to is they're really not attracted to a lot of religiosity. They're not attracted necessarily to our, "Well, I've got to go to church. Well, I've got to do this. Well, you know, I've got to pay my tithe." They're not attracted to those kinds of things because you can have that with other religions in the world. And you can be a very religious person that you always do the same thing at the same time every day. Maybe you turn to the east and you pray 5 times or whatever. And I don't think that kind of thing is attractive to the world. And yet we can be that way as Christians. We can be so busy with going to church and so busy with doing all the right things that we don't stay fresh in our walk. But the fact of the matter is we have a walk with the living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And we need to just walk with Him every day. He's been dealing with me so much lately about just keeping it simple and just walking with Him. And if you will just walk with Jesus every day, get up in the morning, talk to Him first thing, present your day before Him, do what you need to do to spiritually tune up by getting in His Word and spending time in His presence, and then walk with Him and let your walk be a fresh thing. There should be a fresh word that you have from God. Amen? Amen. In Acts 4, verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized," or the Amplified says recognized, "that they had been with Jesus." Something about their behavior let them know that they had been with Jesus. And so we can get focused on the character of God, and we can get focused on all the morality, which we need to be good. We need to be moral. Sometimes I'm like, is anybody looking at character? No. But we can get so focused on those things that as Christians, we can actually become judgmental. And when we're around people in the world and sinners, they don't feel our compassion and love, but more our judgment that they're not quite as good as we are. Am I preaching really good today? And what happens is we begin to get cleaned up. You know, we come out of the world and we get delivered from smoking. Remember the day? You know, we get delivered from sleeping with our boyfriend. If you're not delivered, we'll pray for you afterwards. We'll get you delivered. But we get delivered from all those things. We don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with the guys that do. And, you know, we're looking pretty Christian now. And so we can have a tendency to expect the world to kind of come up to our standard when they don't have a new nature yet. You know, you're a cat expecting a dog to act like a cat. But they're sinners, and what do sinners do? They sin. So instead of Jesus chiming in with the Pharisees that day and telling that woman, "Yeah, you shouldn't have been in adultery." I'm always wondering, where was the man that was involved there? She was not doing that herself. But he could have looked at her and said, "Well, yeah, you know, that is bad according to the law. Okay, here, let me throw the first stone." Actually, he was without sin. He could have thrown the first stone. Did you think about that? But what breaks the norms and breaks the stereotypes is when we don't react with judgment and harshness and expectation, but we react with compassion and love and mercy. And even coworkers at work, when they sense that we love them and we care more about that they receive prayer for what they need than that they become a Christian before we can pray for them. You hear what I'm saying? Are you with me? Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." He wants to make us living witnesses, that people can tell that we've been with Jesus, that there's something about that's different about our character, something that's different about the way we approach people, something that's different about the way we show the love of God. Amen? So, along with that, not only does God want to make us a living epistle, and we come to that place by having a fresh walk with him every day, but I want to encourage you today that God wants you to step out and begin to share your story. If you're walking with him, if there's something fresh going in your life, if you've been working on the character so that you are representing well, then we need to open our mouths and begin to share in a way that it can be received what's going on in our life. In Matthew 13, 34 through 35, Jesus said, it says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, or the prophet David, excuse me, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. God wants us to be quick to share our story, to share what's going on in our lives. And one thing about a story, when you're telling the story about what's going on in your life, there is no argument to that. I think sometimes we are slow to, quote, witness. We're supposed to be a living witness, and everything that comes out of our mouth should glorify Jesus. But sometimes the reason I feel like we're slow to tell someone about Jesus is sometimes we're not sure if we're going to be able to deal with all their arguments. Like, you know, did man write the Bible? Or, dealing with the arguments of evolution and things like that. And sometimes I think we get intimidated when we get around certain people. And so we don't share. But, you know, there's no argument against your story. That's what happened with you. Who can have an argument against that? That's the reality of your life. That is what's happened to you. And I've found that as staunch as some people can seem against God, there is still the place on the inside that is a big void, it's a big vacuum that God created for himself that still causes them to feel lonely, still causes them to ache, still causes them to have those midnight confessions. Remember the midnight confessions before we came to the Lord? God, if you're really there, help me. I like this one as a very carnal, backslidden Christian. Oh, God, you know my heart. He's like, yeah, I do. Oh, God. Oh, God. Take this guy out of my life. I keep inviting him back, but take him out. But as hardened as someone may be, they reach a place of vulnerability. And when they're having those midnight confessions, when they're staring up at the ceiling, when their belief system isn't working for them, then the Holy Spirit just brings to their remembrance that little story you shared, that little glow they saw on your face. See, that haunted me. When I was a backslidden Christian, I was raised in church, and up until my teenage years, I loved Jesus, talked to Jesus every day. But then it didn't seem to be working. I didn't really know the power of God. So I got off into sin through my teenage years and young adulthood. But the thing that haunted me was those on-fire Christians that seemed to have so much joy and seemed to have peace. Because after all, I was a Christian too. But it was like a holy haunt. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do with your stories. Number one, we need to share with our fellow Christians. We need to exhort one another daily, the Bible says. It says that in Hebrews 3:13. It says, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So your sister, sitting right next to you or across from you, can get hardened. Her heart can become hardened through sin that she's allowed to creep into her life. But if you're there, ready to exhort her, ready to encourage her, and praise God for girlfriends on Thursday mornings, then the Holy Spirit's going to use you to lift her up and get her out of that stuff and encourage her so that she wants to go on with the Lord. Amen? And so if you're walking with Jesus, then you have something fresh to share. Can I share a little fresh story that just happened to me? I was yesterday, our grandson was over. On Tuesday, our grandson was over. We have him one day a week. He's almost four. And he's just a really bright little boy, of course, because he's our grandson. He's just so cute. But he tends to not want to pick up his toys. How many grandmas do I have that can verify that is the situation? So I'm in the kitchen. I was cleaning the kitchen, and he had a bunch of his GeoTrack stuff, his cars and everything, in the kitchen. And I was saying, Peyton, pick up your stuff and take it into the family room. And he just kept playing, Peyton, pick up your stuff, take it into the family room. Finally, I raised my voice a little. Peyton, Grandma said, pick up your toys and take them to the family room. I'm sorry, Grandma, I'm sorry. And he kept playing. Okay, so he's sorry, but nothing's changing. And so I said, Peyton, Grandma said, pick up your toys and take them to the family room. And because I'm raising his voice, he's raising my voice. He's like, I'm sorry, Grandma, I'm sorry. I said, Peyton, I don't want you to keep saying I'm sorry. I want you to just obey me. And right then, dropped down in my heart, God said, yeah, that's how I feel about that. And there's an area in my life that I've been doing a lot of repenting, but still not a whole lot of change. Can everybody say ouch again? And so, you know, God taught me a little lesson through that. And I said, oh, yeah, God, you don't want me to keep repenting every day, crying big tears. You want me to just obey. You want me to just obey you. Well, see, that's a little story. And I could share that with you. That's just a little situation that happened to me a couple days ago. But did that encourage you? Did that show you something? See, that's a little story. That's a little testimony. That's a little situation that happened in my life, and you have them every day. And as we share those little things with each other, we're encouraged. And a story like that many times will teach us more than me proving everything with a whole bunch of scriptures. You know, the word, I want the word, and the word is what ultimately does change us. But sometimes we get a lot of information, and it's a story that will give us inspiration to begin to change. Amen? Amen. So you need to share your story with each other. Share what's going on in your life. Share what the Holy Spirit's talking to you about, because you're walking with him every day, right? And he says, my sheep know my voice, the voice of another they will not follow. But in doing that, sometimes we need to be the listeners to hear other people's stories. Amen? And one thing Pastor Deborah taught me years ago that's really been a blessing in my life is she said, just play the interviewer. Just play the interviewer. If you're with your sister and you're having lunch, or you're coming to girlfriends and you're exhorting each other before the service starts, be a good listener and pull out somebody else's story. What's God doing in your life? And listen to what they have to say. Most people are so quick to talk, but we have very few really good listeners. One time my husband and I were talking, and, you know, as you get older in your marriage sometimes, you know, you want to kick it up a notch. And I was like, well, honey, you know, what is it that you like about me most, living with me all these years, you know? And I expect him to say, oh, it's your eyes. No. And he said, you are a really good listener. I go, that's it? That's all? 26 years and I'm a good listener, huh? That's it. But he said, no, you don't realize how valuable that is to me. He says, I come home and you just sit down and you push everything aside and you listen to me. And I can just, I know I ramble sometimes, but you listen to me. And he goes, and that's always been very, very important to me. And that's always touched my heart, the way you do that. And I go, oh, that was good. So we need to listen to that was free. But we need to listen to each other. And so if no one's asking you your story, no one's playing an interview with you, you turn around and be a friend. You turn around and love somebody else. Amen? Just as another little story to just prove that point. I remember when my daughter was kind of going into junior high years. I think she was like fifth, sixth grade. And there started being the in club at school, you know, the in group, you know, the little clique that everybody's popular, you know. And she started feeling, you know, am I in with that group? Am I not in with that group? You know, and certain days you are, you know, certain days they include you if it's to their advantage, you know, certain days they don't. And she was kind of just going through the first rumblings of rejection and stuff. And she came home one day and she was kind of hurt. They hadn't asked her to do something or something. I said, you know, Anna, how many are in that little group? And she goes, well, there's about four. I go, how many girls are there in the rest of the class? There was like 15 or something, you know. I said, Anna, whenever they're doing that, whenever they're, you know, TikTok, the game is locked and nobody else can play, look around at all the other girls that are just like you that are wanting someone to accept them, wanting someone to include them, and you be the one that reaches out and pulls them in. And, you know, she began to do that. And honestly, we're planning her wedding for this summer. And she had to really discipline herself to get it down to 8 bridesmaids. I was like, please, we're not having 15 bridesmaids. No, we can't do that. But it's because she has purposed in every arena to be a friend, to reach out and be a friend. And there's more out there that need you than the ones you're feeling like you're rejected by. Amen? That was just free. That was just free. And then we need to learn to share with the unsaved. Share with the unsaved. How do we do that? Number one, you need to pray. Now, that should be just standard around here. That's nothing earth-shattering. But we need to pray. When you're in a work situation and you have coworkers that are around you every day, you cannot come into the office every day and say, have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior yet? I mean, that's a little intense. You can't do that. Now, that might be street witnessing. You've got one shot. You've got 10 minutes. Get them. Go hard. Be radical. But when you've got to work side by side with the same people every day, you've got to really work on character so that they see the love of Jesus in you. But then you've got to be led by the Spirit and give them little spoonfuls. Make them thirsty. Make them hungry. Amen? So number one, we have to pray. Pray before you open your mouth. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for your friends. Pray for your loved ones. Lift them up to you. I've shared this with you before. I have my whole family. 50 people all met, immediate family, 50 people met for my mom's 80th, taped in the back of my Bible. I lay hands on that and pray every morning for my family, for opportunities to minister to them. You pray for God to open the door. Colossians 4:3 says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So when I'm in a situation that I know that I'm around a lot of unsaved people, in the morning I get with God and I say, Father, I thank you today for the door of utterance, the door of utterance. And then when he opens the door, we have to be prayed up and believing that we'll speak boldly when he opens that door. Many times he opens the door and later in the day we look back over the day and we go, oh my gosh. There was a perfect opportunity. She even asked me about something that could just totally lead into talking about church or prayer or something, and I missed it. But it says in Ephesians 6, 19 through 20, Paul said, if he needed this kind of prayer, we do too. He said to pray, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I used to just meditate on that. I used to meditate and I think, Father, in the name of Jesus, you open the door of utterance. You open the door, Father. I'm not going to kick it down. I'm not going to leave gospel tracts on everybody's seat every morning at work. You know, I'm just going to trust you to open the door of utterance. And then I thank you, Father, that I will speak your word boldly as I ought to speak. He says we ought to speak boldly. People are going to hell every day. That's the reality. And a coworker that you work with every day, I just saw a guy at my 40th reunion, and they invited me to his funeral this Friday. He was a guy I'd known in high school, and it's in Northern California. I can't go. But who knew? He didn't know back in August, or September rather, that he was not going to be here in March or April. So this is something that we have to see that is a reality, and we need to open our mouth boldly and speak the word of God, or speak what God shares us to speak, as we ought to speak. Amen? And don't worry, as I said, don't worry about the religious arguments. Information may just pass through their head, but a story will stick with them. And so just share your story. Now here, let's talk about some tips for sharing your story with the unsaved. I found these video clips online that I thought were cute, and I'm going to illustrate these. We're going to illustrate these by God's grace of some things not to do and some things to do. Number one, when you're sharing with the unsaved, don't be what I call woo-woo weird. Okay? They're not there. They don't know about oil that runs over you when you're healed. You know. So don't be woo-woo weird. Let's look at this first little clip.
So, and I've been meaning to ask you about this for a while.
Yeah.
This whole God thing means a lot to you, it seems like. Mm. What's that all about?
You ready to have your mind blown?
Sure.
June 21st, 2003, the summer solstice. I had just purchased the latest Harry Potter book. I sat alone in my studio apartment reading while having breakfast. I had just poured myself a large bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's a cereal with the little pieces of toast with cinnamon and sugar on it. It was quite good. I was just about to take another bite. I looked down at my spoon and I see one of the little toasts appeared to be abnormal. I turn my hand to get a better look. The light from the window hits the milk perfectly, and I see, clear as day, the face of Jesus Christ looking me square in the eyes. The cinnamon swirls made a perfect outline. He had the beard, the hair, the shawl, the whole nine. I drop the spoon. I fall to my knees. My hips began to tingle. To this day, I do not know why. I called out to God, and I have been serving him ever since.
That's unbelievable.
You want to hear the crazy part?
No.
I get back in my seat. I look in the bowl. The milk had turned to wine. Check, please.
Okay, so we can't be woo-woo weird. 1 Corinthians 9:21 through 23 says, "To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with you." So we need to be a credible witness. We need to realize who we're talking to and where they're at, and not necessarily share things that even the most radical Christians would maybe not relate to. Number two, be concise. Less is more. Sometimes we go on a bunch of different rabbit trails and we share details that really don't matter. And the person is, we kind of like undo the sale, you know, in salesmanship. You can talk too much and they were about ready to buy and you kept talking, so they changed their mind. But let's look at this one. Let's be concise when we're witnessing.
So all this, you know, church God thing, why do you seem to be so into all that?
Oh, wow. I mean, I'm thrilled that you would ask because it's actually a really fascinating story. I grew up with this aunt and I just loved her, such a cool lady. But she always dragged me to church. I hated going to church, you know, but I liked her. She was a cheerleader in high school. I was a cheerleader. I don't know if you know this, but I actually went on a full ride scholarship to Northeastern State. Oh, go Tigers. Anyways, before the whole college thing, my family moved to Tucson. Hate the weather, love the city, but that is where I met my husband. We were high school sweethearts, sort of fell in love right off the bat. You know, well, actually, hilarious story. I fell first in love with his best friend. I won't bore you with the whole story, but well, I'll give you the quick version. We were riding our bikes. So there I am, on top of this cliff, yelling, "God help me!" Can you believe they had to drain a pint of fluid off my right knee? I told my husband right then and there, "Don't ever take me bungee jumping in Mexico again." So I guess, you know, that was the moment right there where just God came into my life and I've never been the same, you know?
Wow.
I know.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I get so excited about this. I just sort of spit it out.
So we need to be concise. Less is more. Many times we need to be reading body language, you know, and not just mow them over. You know, they start crossing their arms. They start yawning. You know, that's when we probably should try to wrap it up. And then number three, we need to speak in simple terms that they will understand. Many times I feel like we kind of talk Christianese, and they're not familiar with words like righteousness. They don't know what a blood covenant is all about. The blessings of Abraham, bless God, you know. And we talk like we might if we're at lunch with one of our girlfriend's sisters, but that's not where the world is at, and we just come off being really, really strange. So let's look at this one.
So, I mean, obviously, you're very kind of passionate about church and God and all that. I mean, what's that all about? Why is that?
Well, this is such a blessing to be able to share this with you. I've actually been seeking the Lord's face about this very thing. I think for me, it all started when I was born. For the second time, you know, born again. Jesus had to come and live inside of me. And I knew I'd have to become a new creature for that to happen. I mean, you can't put new wine in old wineskins, right? So the old me died, but the new me was resurrected with Christ. And when I finally understood that the blessings of Abraham are mine, I mean, that's when I started to get excited. I mean, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And the good news of the gospel is you can be too. We could pray right now, and I could have you washed in the blood in less than 30 seconds.
Does that hurt?
Anyway, again, we have to realize who we're speaking to and not use terminology or phrases that they just have no understanding of. We have to be sensitive to where they're at. So, you have a story. You are a living epistle. God wants to just wear you well. He wants your life to speak so loudly to those around you. And he wants you to have a vibrant walk with him that speaks. That when people see you and talk with you, there's something fresh going on in your life. It's not religion, but it's the love of God that just emanates through you in your character and how you deal with people. And then God wants us to tell our story. Number one, with each other, sharing just freely what's going on in our lives, being quick to share testimonies and the stories of everyday situations that he's doing in our lives. And then to share with those that don't know him, with the unsaved. And by doing that, we don't want to be woo-woo weird. We want to be concise, share headlines, and we want to speak a language that they understand. So today, what is your story? What's your story? We're going to go to the tables, and we're going to have a little bit more time today. And what I want you to do, the table talk that I've given the table leaders, I believe you all have it, right? Does everybody have it? Okay. Is we're going to take a few minutes. We're going to take maybe 3 to 5 minutes. And I want you, on a little piece of paper, to write down just a couple sentences about your story. And it could be how you came to the Lord. It can be how you came back to the Lord. Maybe your life dramatically changed when you got filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have a healing testimony or something that God has done financially in your life, like Pastor Michelle shared with us. And just write down a couple sentences, and then we're going to take turns going around the table, each one of you sharing your story. But remember the things that we talked about, even in terms of ministering to the unsaved. you know, you're not going to talk the whole time. You're not going to talk 20 minutes yourself. You're going to keep in mind that there's other ladies that want to share. And you're not going to get so detailed that that we're just all, you know, falling asleep on you. You know, we're going to be concise. And then we're also going to just share simply what we're going through or what God has been doing in our lives. Maybe there's just this fresh word of something that God has shown you just in your quiet time this morning with God. And that's something that will encourage and exhort everybody. And then before you leave today, we're going to pray for each other. That number one, that God will give us a vibrant walk. That our lives will be something that is attractive to people when they see how well we are, how we're doing with Jesus and the love of Jesus that flows through our lives. We're going to pray for the door of utterance in each other's lives. Many times we've got people even living in our own homes that are not born again. And we have to be very led by the Spirit when we share with them. Amen? And then when God does open a door, that we will speak his word boldly as we ought to speak. Amen? Amen. So right now, let me go ahead and pray for you. And we're going to spend a little bit extra time at the tables today to be able to do this. Father, I thank you for every one of these beautiful ladies. Father, thank you for making our lives just living epistles, living letters, that others can see the love of Jesus in our lives. That they will look at us, that there will be something that they want to emulate their life after. That we can say, follow us as we follow Christ. And then, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that over this next week, that you will open doors of utterance, that we will be able to share the gospel simply and with wisdom. You said that we are to walk in wisdom toward those that are without. So help us to share the gospel simply and boldly, Father, and that others may come to know you through the witness of our lives and that which we share from our mouths. We give you honor and glory and praise today, Father, and all that you're going to do in us and through us over this next week. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen, amen.